Hi, we should start soon.
Couple of people at YouTube. I know there are some of them who are not well. Three, yeah? Four. I think Joe is there, Kurt is there, Jin Yang, and what else. Come, can I just ask of you guys to move forward so I don't have to project so much? Ma'am, the two of you, can you all come forward? Come. Yeah. 吓死人了. Come forward means come forward lah. Boy still behind. Okay, never mind. Hey, today is Mother's Day, so later I'll tell you about what happened to me last Sunday. So I was just telling Gan, after being hit on the head, I become a sweeter person. Today is Mother's Day. I thought the least I could do is to suddenly Mother's Day tomorrow, right? Mother's Day. So suddenly a thought came to me, go and buy some flowers. So of course I buy for my wife, but I went over and above that. I bought even for the mothers for the church. So I want to invite the mothers to just where you are, can you please stand? Mothers, we're going to ask all the mothers to come, and I'm going to ask Silas to really be the flower boy and give you all the flowers. Yeah, come. Yeah, can all the mothers come? Can we just welcome the mothers? Come. Yeah. Mothers, just come. Yeah. Take your color, dark pink or whatever. Pink. Yeah. And then all gather around here. We'll get one of us to pray. I'll ask Dawn, come. Dawn, pray for the mothers later. Can you just forward? Come.
You too.
Angela also come lah. Okay, the rest of us, can we just stand and ask Dawn to... Can you get a mic for Dawn? Come, pray for us. Pray for the mothers. Yeah. Mothers, thank God for you. Yeah. Wow. Come, let's pray.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come together as a family and we want to thank you for your blessings, and ultimately we want to thank you for all the mothers that you have blessed us in the family, Lord. But the Lord, without the mothers, there won't be children, and the mothers have contributed so much since the day they know they have a baby, and they cannot stop until today, and we want to pray a prayer for them. You bless them with strength, bless them with joy always, and you favor them always. You will cover them in every area of their life, and that the husbands will know what to do without the wife having to say much. Pray for understanding of the husbands and to support the wives, so that the mother can have an easier time. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for the mothers, Lord, every single one of them. As our hands stretch out to them, Father, we thank you for the lives. May you continue to multiply their faith. May they walk in sobriety. May they walk in fear of you, which is the beginning of the wisdom. May you continue to encourage them. When times are tough, when exams come, when the children don't understand, when communications break down, Lord, you just be with them so that, Lord, they continue to court your favor. And we know that many will also court their favor. So, Father, we pray for them. Favor first of you, God, and then the favor of men. Father, we thank you for each and every one of the mothers. We thank you for the lives. Use them until you see them face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for you. Come, have a seat. Today we should come to the close of the series on Exodus, and I had some thoughts that I wanted to just share with all of you, and we start by the title, and later it will be quite evident why we talk about the mass of God. Some thought that just came to me as we started. I want to show the first slide, Leon. I don't know why, but just came a thought where we don't R&R enough. As we talk about theology of work, sometimes we work so hard, we forget that we need to rest and relax and to keep the Sabbath. Same time, also learn to recharge and release and to repair and reconcile. Right? So those are the R&Rs I want to talk about. I want to just leave a thought. And last week, was it a week before? Seven days ago, I deliberately checked myself into a hotel just to spend some time away. And then I got people like Silas and Gunn to just come together with Joe, and we had a fantastic time to just recharge and reconnect. And then even before that, I had a pre-dinner drink. with Silas, we were just talking about some things that we thought mattered. Sometimes all this catching up, all this recalibrating and just coming before for God, but also the people of God, just to talk to each other is so wonderful. I mean, if you have a good relationship with someone, with people like Silas, I don't need to, how are you, pretend, and then talk 10 minutes, actually 10 minutes mean nothing, but just jump straight in, and then he asks me, so how are you doing? And I don't have to pretend, talk 10 minutes, and then go to the point. So sometimes when you're dealing with people whom you know very well, no need to talk so much, meaning just get to the point, and really a fellowship. Just like, I mean, Malcolm will just, no need to, how are you doing, how's the weather? I mean, when he tells me something, he tells me on the spot, hey, I got a job and whatever. You got a job, right? Praise God. Thank God. Malcolm lost his job, and then now he got his job. I don't even know what company it is. Maybe I got some memory loss, and we'll talk about it later. Some things I want to just take it from here, and I want to just leave the thought that has been hanging on my head, and I want to look at the book of Exodus as we come to the end. Exodus 3:10 and Exodus 9:15-16, if you undergird, if you look at Exodus 3:10 and 9:15-16, I want to leave that thought with you. God, if he wants to, can do a lot of things by himself. I've already said it time and again, I want to leave that thought again, but he chooses not to do it by himself. He chooses to use us human vessels. For example, you look at Exodus 3:10. 3:10 says, Exodus 3:10, some of you can go to your Bibles, open up your Bibles. Exodus 3:10, you can see time and again what we mean when we go there. Let me go to my Exodus 3:10 faster for me, just flip my manual Bible. Exodus 3:10 says that, so now I'm going to send you to Israel to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. It is the Lord saying in 3:7, I've indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard their cries and I'm going to do something about it. He talks about all the things that were happening to people, but then he goes on to say, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That was his instruction to Moses. But actually, the point of the matter is this. Can God do it by himself? The answer is yes, he did not have to send Moses, but he chooses to send Moses. Exodus 9:15-16, if you go to Exodus 9:15-16, again, he here tells you, I talked about it before the last time when I was talking about it, Exodus 9:15-16, go to Exodus 9:15-16, he says, for by now I could have stretched out. This is what God says to the people, the Egyptians, and to Moses, for by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people, the Pharaoh and the king of Egypt and the people, with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth, but I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I'm going to show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. This is the reverse side. God is telling you, I could have destroyed you, but I've given you a chance and I decided to do something about it. He always explains, he always gives a chance, but he always, when he has a chance to do things by himself, he holds back. He likes to do things through human beings. And I want to leave this, and this is my favorite author, and you know who it is. Silas keeps talking about him being his favorite author, C.S. Lewis. Creation seems to be delegation through and through. We are all God's creation, right? God made us for a reason. Listen to this. Creation seems to be delegation through and through. He, God, will do nothing simply of himself which can be done by creatures. I say again, he will do nothing simply of himself which can be done by creatures. I suppose this is because he's a giver. God's a giver. He gives. He gives his energy, he gives his resources, he gives his encouragement, he gives. He's not someone that just can do things by himself. He can, but he doesn't. He gives. The whole point of creation, and I like this, surely is that God was not content to be all. Number one, Angela, is God all? The answer is yes, you know. But guess what? It is not all. It is not only all. He intends to be all in all. This is yes. I like that. Later, when we sing this song, Esther is going to lead us together with Karen, and then today we have a new vocalist called Leon, angelic, cherubic voice. We sing the song of God. We say, God is what? You are my all in all. What does that mean? Because actually, Shireen, we can just say that God is all, full stop. But God is more than all. God is all in all. Meaning that if you think about it, all in all, he's going to use his people. He's not going to just use himself. He's all in all. So I want to leave that as a thought. And today I want to now take a break now and just tell you, God wants to use people, right? And when he uses people, he will use anybody he uses. And I always tell people, if your time is not up, God will not let you go. You just carry on with your life until your time is up. I was just talking to Royson just now. I said, I don't think my time is up. He says, surely, your time is not up. Last Sunday, I was playing football at about 3 p.m. The only thing I remember is that I scored a super goal, long-range shot from far. I have no video now, but I scored a super goal. That's the only thing I remember. The next thing I remember, I was in Changi General Hospital. Apparently, I was going for a ball, and then two fellas clattered onto me. We were playing with this young, certain kind of race kind of team. They were young, but they lost to us 6-1. I'm actually quite secretly quite pleased with that. But anyway, someone told me I jumped for the ball, and then the two of them clattered onto me. I fell backwards. The next thing, I was puking all over the field. Then some of them said, I think this is not very good news. Let's send you to Changi General Hospital. So I was sent to Changi Hospital. But apparently before that, I was unconscious on the field for two minutes. That's quite long, 120 seconds. So I think the people must have been panicking. Nobody talked to me after that. No? But guess what? After that, when the ambulance came, they still played the football. They still carry on. It's terrible people. La. But I've also been in football fields whereby ambulance come after that, we still play. So other footballers are evil, wicked people. So they just kept on playing, and then I was puking at the side. They didn't care. One of them said, hey, actually, I took off your boots. I don't really remember. Apparently, that fella took off my boots. So I was so stoned, I was just down there. Jonathan, that fella took off my boots. Then that fella said, actually, I could have taken your boots and then returned it. I said, you try lah. I will remember. In fact, the first thing I remember when my memory came back is I asked Karen, do I have my two pairs of boots? This is so important to remember. I was in Changi Hospital. Have you been to emergency department Changi Hospital? Wow, it's quite an interesting experience, I'll say the least. And all the noise and everything, and then I was puking all over the place, and then but God sent this very senior consultant, and really nice. Please remember, Karen, we should send her chocolates. Or maybe give her flowers, we got extra. So nice to me, did all the CT scan, but I don't remember a thing. The only thing I remember is she says, we got no ward for you in this hospital. Maybe we put you in the trolley room overnight. I say, trolley room overnight. And suddenly I woke up, trolley room overnight. I say, can we make some arrangements? And then I was sent to another hospital. I stayed there, and then the next day I woke up, and then the neurosurgeon came and checked the CT scan. They gave me the all clear. Apparently, a nurse will tell me, Clarissa, I had a bit of bleeding, but I'm fine. I checked my memory, the last I checked, I think this guy's name, what's your name? John, right? What's your name? Are you Silas? Yeah, I've seen people who play football when they get hit, they don't recover. From now on, maybe when I play football, I tell my wife now, I probably won't jump for the ball anymore. I just cross for people and don't jump. Tell me don't play, maybe a bit harder. But don't jump for ball, can. I was a bit shocked by the extent of the thing. I was in hospital for 24 hours and they did a check. And then they were doing all the blood tests and everything. The first test they did, I remember, they did keep green blood. You know, in hospital, they keep asking, what's your name, IC number? I don't know why they keep asking me. 4 or 5 times, is it? You all trying to test me, is it? What's your name, Goh Chun, what IC number, 1823. And then testing. The first time they test was very good because I was sedative, you know. It was on Sunday night. And then after eating the food, 111.74, very good, right? Then the next day, I say, I got this evil thing called the iPad, and I had to check some emails or something. Although our memory not the best yet, still checking email. And when I was checking email, the nurse come and then the fella look at me and I was talking on the email. The fella come and check my blood pressure. And then I'm talking. Blood pressure 174. But I think I'm fine now. I went to check. My neck is a bit, the physio say my neck, if you look at my neck, it's a bit off. But I'm okay. But I want to just tell you our life is really in God's hands. You don't know when you're going to go, right? I'm not hoping I need to go. But Sam, I talked about it before. Hello. You're the first one to come through here, no? E.T. Brilliant, at 521 or more. And I remember your name, that's the best part. My memory is good. And I talked to your client that day, they asked me to call the girl, the guy. From favor to flavor to the floor. Never mind, later. Sure. But God will use his people. God will use the people that he wants to use, and the peoples that he uses, they will be immortal until their time is up. Do you hear about the 3 undergrads in New Zealand that were in a camper van? I always tell people there's something about New Zealand. Nothing, but sometimes when people go there, you know what's the problem with New Zealand? Number one, the time difference is about 5 hours. It's neither here nor there. You try landing down there and then you drive, you're a bit wonky. That's number one. Number two, when we go there, that's the problem with us. We don't respect the traffic driving culture. Maybe you go to the T-junction, people supposed to stop, right? We don't stop, we just move. Isn't that a problem? Their lives are just gone. I've got so many friends in New Zealand, I heard, even when I was younger, when it's in St. Andrews, some people driving somewhere and then life perish. If you are still around, Silas and I are still around. I talked to Silas about it. We're very happy to go, are we not? Not that we're happy to go, but if we need to go and get promoted to God and to heaven, we're ready to go. But you don't choose when you're going to go. You continue to do God's work, and God has said it in His creation. Delegation seems to be true and true. He will do nothing simply of Himself, which can be done by creatures. That's because He's a giver. God's a giver. He wants to give us the opportunity. He wants us to be blessed by doing that. He wants to give us purpose. So if you're someone that has no purpose in your life and your only purpose is every month earn 3,000, maybe next year earn 3,500, after a year 4,000, and that's about it, and you have no purpose for God, you don't look to God to do the things that will please God, I don't know, you know. Is your time up? Is it time for God to take you? Or are you someone that there's so many things that God wants to do in and through you that you know that your life is full of conviction and purpose and you're going to do so many things that God wants you to do? I talked about R&R just now and I want to leave that thought as I go down the line. What's the culture when we talk about R&R? When we deal with things, do we talk about repair or buy a new one? Half the time, sometimes when you have a thing that is spoiled, what do? When you try to repair something, Angela, the fellow say, repair $200, the new one is $150. The encouragement is always for people to buy new things. Like, how many of you buy iPhone and then you repair your iPhone? I pretend I didn't see Malcolm's hand. How many people repair your TV? But that culture that we have is always repair versus buy new one. The obvious answer is to buy new one. But is that how we deal with human beings? Do we buy new one, meaning, yeah, Sabrina, like that, forget it, lah. Already this age, write off, get someone else. Or do we say, not so much repair human beings, but we restore, we recalibrate, and we recharge, and we keep coming back to people. I'm just so pleased, Sunny, today at the thought. I don't know why I said suddenly a thought. Das and Kitty, I hope you listen to this YouTube. I've not seen them for ages, and I know that they have been working so hard in their jobs at weekends. They do graveyard shifts so that they don't come to just suddenly something just told me, text them. You know, sometimes when you receive a text from me, people say, wow, here, go here. And then after that, Das straight away came and said, oh, I have been having a discussion with Jasmine, and that we're going to make a plan to just come back to church. God used Jasmine to encourage them to come back. And then without me talking to Jasmine, God told me to message them. Do you therefore not think that by the two of us doing this, it brings reinforcement to the message and therefore they will find that, yeah, God's really talking to them, they should come back. Isn't that how God works? God works through mysterious ways and through His creatures. And all of us are creatures of God. Make no mistake, we are creatures of God, we are not God. But later, I want to talk to you, but you are as if you are God. And later, we look at Exodus and you find it. So what's the culture? Do we repair? Or do we say, aya, no need lah, buy new TV. The culture of this world is to buy new things, correct? Do you recycle? Or do you buy a new one? I remember a few months ago, I talked about less plastic bags, single-use plastic bags. Nowadays, even supermarket, right? When you go, 10 cents. Do we recycle? Sometimes when I get lazy, I still fall prey to this plastic bag thing. Sometimes when I'm tired, I don't bring my cup down to the coffee shop, use my cup, and then I go down every time, it's that plastic cup. Worse still, every time pay 20 cents more. And then it's one extra cup. If everybody just bring the cup down there, less plastic. Do we repair? Do we reconcile? Do we recalibrate? Or do we condemn? And condemn means don't repair, right? But it also can also mean, hey, Clarissa, you're hopeless, we condemn you. Next one. Phyllis is good. Phyllis, keep. Cindy, not bad. Keep. Jonathan. It's on condemnment. Go. Or do we say we work with people and everybody come through? Do we don't go to Das and Katie say, oh, never come back already, time bar already, no need to come anymore already, no need to come. Or do we give up to them? Or do we always work with people? COE, Certificate of Entitlement, or is it Certificate of Eternity? What do we deal with people? People are eternal. We don't have 10 years only, no. We don't have also 20 years. And for those who don't know, if you buy your COE, if you only renew 10, 5 years, that's it, you cannot renew again. You want to renew a car, better renew 10 years. Because if you renew 5 years, that's it, you can never renew again. Are we COE, Certificate of Entitlement, or Certificate of Eternity? Do we look at people or look at things with eternity and purpose? I think it's important, right? If we don't think of eternity when we talk to people every day, we've lost it, because then what we talk about is very temporal, is very earthly. Don't make sense? Yes, if we talk about things and we know that eternity is in mind, we talk to it with Dawn on the basis that I will meet Dawn again up there in the heavens, it's a different ballgame, my friend. So Certificate of Eternity is what I think we need to think about. And don't argue too much, because sometimes we rationalize things too much. If we rationalize things, we don't do things. And I want to leave a thought. We talk about being in the marketplace, and I thought, I heard someone say in my many YouTubes I listen to, we are in the marketplace of favors, isn't it? I tell you, my life is so, I'm so favored, I got nothing to say. I went to Changi, I think that lady is probably the emergency department senior. She is so nice. Huh, Karen? So nice, go down there, CT scan done, then I need this, need that. I say, oh, can I transfer those? She said, no problem. And then everything, sui sui, pa pa pa, 10 minutes, I'm out. And when I go to the hospital, because I made one call, everything done, I say, the ward is ready. And then when I go there, then the neurosurgeon also ready to see me. A marketplace of favors. Are we living in a marketplace of favors so that when we need something, things are done? I talked about last week how I don't know when my next piece of work comes in, right? It's the truth. And God knows that last week I needed to rest, right? Actually, my MC, today is on MC, no. But I've not stopped working until I forced myself on Thursday. I say I will not read emails and tell you it's a major challenge. Monday, Tuesday, my MC still work. That's why the thing from 111, when you read emails, become 174. But if we believe that we're in the marketplace of work, guess what? I had no new work for last week. But by Monday and Tuesday when I come back, there's new work waiting for me. It's like God engineered it, and God knows when I need to rush, to rest, and God will give me what I need. Remember Moses. Moses is always someone who gives all the excuses, but God was going to put him in a place where he was going to be doing the great works of God. I want to leave this thought, and I thought it's interesting. If you open your Bibles, I mean, to Exodus 4:16 and 7:1, and I thought this is interesting. As we come to the end of theology of work, go to Exodus 4:16. Exodus 4:16, read it with me. This is God talking to Moses. God was pissed with Moses because God talked about it. Moses was not going to do the work of God. God says, okay, never mind. I tell you what, I send Aaron to you. And God says in Exodus 4:15, God says, I know he can speak well, Aaron the Levite. He's already on his way to meet you and he'll be glad to meet you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I'll help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. Listen, he will speak to the people for you and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were what? God to him. Can you see that? That's interesting in the theology. Listen, until people know about God, or until people recognize the God behind Royston and Shireen, some of us need to understand this. It is as if you are God to someone. Dawn, you are God to your ex-boss. You're not God, but you are like God to your ex-boss until your ex-boss knows the God is behind you. Does it make sense to you?
That's what Aaron 4:16 says, right? That's it. I'll read it one more time. He will speak, Aaron will speak to the people for you, Moses, and it will be as if Aaron were your mouth and as if you, Moses, were God to Aaron. And I think we need to know that. I'm not telling you to behave like God. You are never going to be like God. But guess what? Yep. Your image is the image of who? The devil or God? God. So does it not make sense that until someone knows God, Jonathan and Cindy, person looks at you, it is as you were God to that construction industry person that needs God. That person that needs to know about God, that banker, that whoever that Nyap knows about or whoever, that person needs God, you are going to be that person until the person gets to know God. Go to Exodus 7:1, and this is another example. When I looked at it, my eyes pop out. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. If you go to Exodus 6:28, now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I'm the Lord, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. This is the Lord telling Moses. Exodus 6:28, I'm the Lord, you, Moses, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. Correct? God is telling Moses, everything I tell you, you just tell Moses. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, listen, Exodus 7:1, so powerful. See, I've made you like what? God to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses, I have made you, Moses, like God to Pharaoh. And this is after Moses said, Esther, that I have faltering lips. God didn't say, "You can you just shut up and do the work?" No, God says, I have made you, although you have faltering lips. That's why people need to understand. It doesn't matter whether you got faltering lips. It doesn't even matter whether you speak well. It doesn't even matter whether you don't know a lot of things, but you just move in faith and you move in obedience, because God's going to use you and He's going to make you like God to someone. And by God to Pharaoh, not like God to some hawker assistant who doesn't run a country. You understand? It is like God to Pharaoh, and God will send you the resources because He already dealt with Aaron in Exodus 4 that we not read just now. And guess what? Your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Isn't that very powerful to you? The theology of work. So in Exodus 4, God's already talking about, hey, steady, Moses. I'm going to send Aaron to help you. Aaron, the eloquent one. But Aaron, you are going to be like, as if you are like God to Aaron. So God and Aaron settled, correct? And then now move to the Pharaoh. It's a triangular arrangement. Pharaoh, Moses said, hey, God, I got faltering lips. God didn't scold him. God says, you will be like God to Pharaoh. And the person that settled with you for Exodus 4, that guy is going to help you, and he is going to be like your prophet. My goodness, how powerful is that? I should stop now, my friend. You've got everything you need, even if you have faltering lips. Is that good enough for you or not good enough for you so that your theology or work changes and you know that you can do all things through God who strengthens you? That's all you need to know. And please don't tell me, oh, you know, Daniel, you speak very well, you're a trial lawyer, eloquent. But this is God talking to Moses, who just said he has faltering lips. And do we all know that Moses has faltering lips? We saw it for ourselves. But as I talked about it last week, after that, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. But first favor with God and then favor with men. So you need to. And if you forget anything that and everything I said about the theology of work in this whole series, I want you to remember. I put down there, yeah, you're not God, la, che, you act as if. But actually, that is what it is. It's not che, you act as if. It is true. It is you are as if you are God to Aaron and you are like God to Pharaoh. Isn't that something that should encourage you as you talk to people? You don't need to be the most eloquent. Find that you have not enough resources, God will send. God sends Aaron so that when you come to Exodus 7, you are going to be like God to Pharaoh. One step was, and we need to receive that into our spirit. So once you receive that in the spirit, it changes the way you look, isn't it? It is not just head knowledge, but Don and Yip or whoever, all of us, when we listened it and inherited within our spirit, when you know that, it changes. You're not God, but as if. How does that look like in the marketplace? If we say, Esther, you are like God to your colleague until your colleague knows God, what does that look like in the marketplace? The marketplace of favors. I want to introduce you to this term, and all of us know this term. You are the diplomat, the ambassador for Christ. If you go to 2 Corinthians, can you list, all of you, just go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I quickly just read a bit for you. 2 Corinthians 5:20. How does that look like? If you are like God, you're not God, but you are the ambassador for Christ, correct? Some of us, none of us are here in MFA, but you know what's ambassador? Ambassador in Chinese is what? What shi? Not xiao shi. Da shi, right? Da, understand? Big. It's a big one. You know, you'll be calling xiao shi. It's da shi, da shi guan, right? The embassy is called what? Da shi guan, right? It's not 小使馆, it's da. It's something big, it's something good. So in 2 Corinthians 5, you read from verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no so longer. If anyone's in Christ, the new creature has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Listen to verse 20. We are therefore, because of what I just talked about, what I just read, the word of God, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How does that look like in the marketplace? And we look at Exodus, we are as if you are like God, right? So what does that mean when you are in the marketplace now? If Royston goes back to the army camp, Sabrina goes back to the hotel, E.T., when you do your business, Gun in your startup, Esther in the bank's compliance, when Nyap goes around to Southeast Asia, when you go and meet all your vendors, your clients and what have you, you are the ambassador of Christ. You are that person that's going to represent Christ. If you look at the secular terms, what does an ambassador look like? An ambassador will come. If you are an ambassador, I know of a friend. He is an ambassador to a certain country. So when you are ambassador, let's say if you are an ambassador sent to China, right? I think it's who's the one in China? Lui Tak Yew, the former minister, the cabinet minister. He goes there, he presents his credentials, he goes before the Chinese president, just like President Halimah will receive those people who come to Singapore. And let's say it's an ambassador from US to Singapore, the person will come, introduce himself, he presents his credentials, isn't it? He goes to the Istana and he presents his credentials, he's an ambassador. What does the US ambassador to Singapore represent? He, the ambassador of US to Singapore, is the mouthpiece of the US government. He represents the government, is it not? He is the chief channel of communications. Singapore wants to talk to US, first port of call, go through the ambassador. Not encouraging you to watch it, but I've been watching Netflix, this show called The Diplomat. Very good, 8 episodes. You read it, this whole thing came to life for me. The mouthpiece of the government, the chief channel of communications, the ambassador is here to promote friendly ties between country A and country B. Country B being the country you represent, country A being the host country. You facilitate exchange of notes. You protect the citizenry. So if, for example, let's say, the US citizens in Singapore are harmed or are in danger, or let's say in Singapore, touch wood, something happens in Singapore, something breaks out, what does the ambassador do? The ambassador, what? His job is to protect the US citizens and maybe heli-vac, whatever vac, get them out. Are you with me? I think the colonel is nodding. These are some of the roles of an ambassador. Just to tell you, this is an ambassador of the country, but you're ambassador of Christ. Think about it. What do you need to do? That's on the secular side, but what do you need to do on your part? You are his creation. You are not God. I said it just now, but as if you are God, you do the things that God wants you to do, isn't it? And please know something, parenthesis, you're nothing without him. So as if you are God, but if you have no God, you are nothing. Isn't it? Make sense? You are his agent. Leon, Malcolm, when you go to this new job, whatever you're doing in the one-year contract, you are agent of God. You're the ambassador of Christ into that office. You are God's agent. You are his representative. You are his appeal channel. You are his reconciling channel. Now, in the Roman Empire, in 2 Corinthians, when you are ambassador of Christ, in that time, in that context, when Paul wrote this, it was in the Roman Empire time. So what do? You are the ambassador of the Roman Empire. What do? You go to that country, you offer terms of peace. You reconcile. And Roman Empire being very big and powerful and very influential and pervasive, right? You go there, you offer terms of peace. What's your job? Your job is to reconcile. Your job is to make things work. Your job is to promote ties. And people are not happy with something, you're the appeal channel. Your job is to do all these things. Question, in your theology or work, whatever you do, are you doing that as ambassador of Christ? Or actually, are you doing the opposite? You are there to cause more shit. Are there people that are shit stirrers in the office? Flame fans and then try to make two people fight. Don't come. This Angela and Esther, let's do something to them. Go there, poison your mind, then poison your mind, make the two of you fight, both gonna whack, and then Don will take over your role. Is that what you do as ambassador, or is that what you think you are doing? If you go to a country and the country is not happy with your country that you represent, who do they go to? To protest, the ambassador gets called up. Do you know? Let's say, if, for example, I'm an ambassador. Let's say I'm Singapore ambassador sent to this country. I'm down there. If that country is not happy with Singapore, what do? They will send a protest and then they summon the ambassador. The ambassador must go to that country's whatever and he's summoned. You understand? So that's the flip side. As an ambassador of Christ, you also need to learn how to defend the gospel and protect what God stands for. Are you with me? That's the job of an ambassador. When the receiving country lodges a complaint, who does the country summon? The country summons the ambassador. Ambassador, we want to see you. Gun, you're ambassador for Singapore to this country. This country has got some whatever. Ambassador, especially those residential ones, like, come in now. There's some non-residential ones, there's some residential ones, right? You go in there, they will tell you what they are displeased with. What's your attitude as an ambassador in Christ? How do people look at you? Do people look at and say, oh, when God is standing there, I have nothing to do with me. Actually, it's all this role. I'm really very busy already. All this is just ECA. Is it none of my business? Or are you 1 Peter 3:15? 1 Peter 3:15, one of my favorite verses. Go to 1 Peter 3:15. Or none of my business, or are you 1 Peter 3:15? But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When people are not happy with you, when they send a protest note, when you go there, if you go and fight with them, or you say, oh, you say, it's no lie, you're not right, or whatever, or do you deal with them with gentleness and respect so that by your answer you turn away wrath? Are you with me? What kind of person are you? Are you someone there to fend the flames of fire, or are you someone that God can trust as an ambassador to do his work? But in your hearts, revere Christ. That's helpful. Always, not sometimes, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone, not someone, not some, not all, not three-quarter, but to everyone. Always prepared answer to everyone who asks you. People will ask you. Clarissa, are there people who ask you about Christ in the workplace? Do people ask you? And you, when you are an ambassador of Christ, guys, you also represent the management. And please don't think ambassador of Christ means that you only answer to people about God, right? Can you imagine, Clarissa, you are the whatever, and then people ask you about management thing, oh, actually, I don't know. What kind of crap is that? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And I think some of us, I myself, we feel. We don't represent God enough. And to that extent, if God puts you, let's say if God puts you, not that Yip shouldn't do it, if God puts Yip and Silas as your boss, if someone has something to say about Silas, would Yip stand up and say, "I defend Silas"? Or do we add to the fire and say, "Actually, yeah, Angela, this one, ah." What do you need most? What do you need most when you're an ambassador? What do you need? And I want to just tell you that the only thing that you need is always to be in the presence of Christ. When you do your work, when we're working, always be mindful. I don't know about you. When I go to court, that's the best part. When you go to court, when in litigation, a lot of things happen that you can plan all you want, but some question comes up, you never thought of this angle, and then the judge asks you, "Hey, Mr. Goh, this part, have you thought about it before?" Actually, the answer is that I've not thought about this before, but I still need to give an answer anyway. And then they say, always be ready to give an answer, right? 1 Peter 3, 5. So how do you answer? And as ambassador, if Cindy, people say, "How? Why this student injured? How come no one look after?" Actually, I don't know. Aren't you the principal? I think it helps that we are always in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, God gives you answers. Make sense? When you are working, we don't have all the answers. Come on. Lawyers are not God. Bankers are not God. A lot of things we don't know, but sometimes you need the answer ASAP, right? Maybe you need to buy time. You need to say, "I give this answer, but I'll check." Or you give an answer that's balanced, knowing what you have. But I think it helps that you often be reminded that you're in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, you look at things differently, isn't it? Tap on His faithful presence and be His faithful presence. Tap. There are two things here. Number one, when we're working, Sabrina, it helps that we tap. Tap on His presence and then be His presence, because you're the ambassador, right? Number one, receive from God, tap on His presence, receive from Him, and then be. Make sense? Tap on His experience, tap on His presence, tap on what He tells you, and then be that mouthpiece. Isn't that what the ambassador is supposed to do? Be the mouthpiece, be that person, and then God is going to be able to use you. Silas was asking me just now later, the concussion thing, whether I'm suffering concussion. But when I talk, after a while, he'll be able to tell. So far, okay? Any concussion? Learn to take in the complaints. An ambassador. Some people don't know. We got a problem at the workplace. Complain, don't tell me. No. Shut down. Do you like to listen to complaints? I also don't like it. But half my life, I'm listening to complaints. Because I run the firm. The Hokkien called Kanasai. Or Gadio. I got no choice. I got to listen. You listen to complaints, Phyllis? Your job? I know your job. Half the time we're doing complaints, isn't it? We take in the complaints, we do the grunt work, but we're part of a team. Everybody do their part. I didn't think I will want to talk about this, but suddenly this thought came to me. I should. I've been taking interns for many years. 10 years, and I specialize in taking those who haven't gone to university yet. Because I think when they come in, especially doing A-levels, I got a chance to frame their minds, change how they think. Because some of them never even gone to office before. So I say, "Never mind, you come under me." I tell them very simple. Look at me, I can joke, but work is work. You just do your work properly. If I say good job, good job. If I tell you it sucks, I'll tell you your job sucks. And then I'll scold you. "Cindy, you what school one? This school? You mean this style of English? Apply your mind, Ken?" I say one time. If you sing what you catch, you never want me to say apply your mind again. I got this from someone who just left. "Daniel is very affable, task-oriented, experienced litigator whom I had the fortune of interning with. I didn't make him do this. I say, can you give me a testimony? Notwithstanding the fact that he's a superb lawyer, my goodness. Control the head a bit. Bring it down. I can also confidently, listen to this, I can also confidently say he's an exceptional leader, and this is what I think we need to do, right? An exceptional leader and mentor who carries a genuine concern for the growth and learning experience of the team working for him. Under his guidance, I gained a deep understanding of the legal profession and the intricacies of the Singapore justice system. This is 18 years old. I mean, just army boy going into law, haven't gone in yet. Moreover, I was given the opportunity to draft court documents, attend court with him, along with feedback and constructive criticism. We need to give constructive criticism, right? If the nurse poked the thing, cannot poke properly, Clarissa, what? Don't deconstruct it. Never mind, poke. Just poke 10 times. Oh, 10 times, sure, can now. Which, along with his feedback and constructivism, allowed me to gain practical experience in the field and helped me improve my writing skills and attention to detail. Overall, my experience working with him was invaluable. I would highly recommend him to anyone seeking a knowledgeable and supportive mentor in the legal profession. Sui Bo. That's an ambassador. Colossians 3:23 says, work heartily for the Lord. The word is heartily. Heartily, the key word is heart. So it's all about the heart, isn't it? When we work, work heartily for God. And always work knowing that someone is watching you. Today, we will do communion and Silas will come on board. I wanted to read to you something from Martin Luther. It's too lengthy for me to just set it out, but it's COVID language, and that's the title of the sermon today, The Mask of God. Allow me to pick it up. What is our work in field and garden, in town and house, in battling and in ruling to God, but the work of children through which he bestows his gift on the land, in the house, and everywhere? Listen, our works are God's masks. Our works, what we do, are God's masks, behind which he remains hidden. God is hidden behind the mask, although he does all things. If Gideon had not obeyed and gone to battle with Midian, we talk about the Gideon's army before, right? About a few months back. The Midianites would never have been conquered, though God could, of course, have conquered them without Gideon. A bit similar to what I talked about just now, right? God will always want to use human beings. He doesn't want his delegation. He also wants to use human beings. He, God, could also give you corn and fruit without your plowing and planting, but that is not his will. Neither is it his will that your plowing and planting should produce corn and fruit. I like that. One more time, Sabrina. God could give you corn and fruit without your plowing and planting. If God once can just give you corn, right? No need to work, my friend. You need money, Angela. Nah, take. But God doesn't do that. He could give you corn and fruit without your plowing and planting, but that is not his will. It is also not his will that your plowing and planting should produce corn and fruit. But you must plow and plant and say a blessing on your work and pray, now help, O God, give us now corn and fruit, dear Lord. For plowing and planting will not yield us anything. It is your gift. If we get this right, we know that really if God is not for us and if God is not going to bless the work of our hands, it's nothing. If you're not going to allow God to use you, it's nothing. What are you working for? What's your theology of work? What do you even bother to work? God is the giver of all good gifts, but you must fall to and take the bull by the horns, which means you must work to give God an occasion and a mask. We have to sing, God gives every good thing, but not just by waving a hand. God gives all good gifts, but you must lend a hand and take the bull by the horns, which means you need to work, right? make the bars and gates, let him fasten them, labor, and let God give the fruits, govern, and let him give his blessing. Fight, soldier, and let God give the victory. Silas, Gunn, Royston, all of us, preach, but let God win the hearts. Take a husband or wife, and let him produce the children. Eat and drink, and let God nourish and strengthen you, and so on. In all our doings, he is to work through us, and he alone shall have the glory. That's why we work. When we work, it is working in God, and all glory goes to God. So that even if I fall down, I concuss for 2 minutes, when I wake up, I don't have to have that kind of tom yum face. Oh, very poor thing, poor thing. And what's your name? You're Nancy. Oh, yeah, Angela. Sorry, I forget any memory loss. I'm very pain. No need. God will do the restoration. He will bless. But even in difficult times, do we give glory to him? Next slide. People that won't look to God. And we have a lot of friends, right? Telling country won't come, right? Yep, they're looking at us. Brian, people that won't look to God, look at us. People who don't read the Bible, what do they do? What do they read? Read Straits Times? No, man, Cindy, they're reading your life. I say thank you, author, because I don't know who wrote that. Next one. Preach in and out of season. This one I think I know. Francis from Assisi. Preach in and out of season. When necessary, use words. Sometimes, no, you talk so much. Isn't it, Angela? Are you more impressed by me, by my life, or by what I talk? Or both? With you, I think it's both. I'm kidding. When you're impressed with people, is it because they talk a lot? Or when you're impressed or encourage people, it's because, or is it more because you watch their life? Does that make sense? Are you impressed with Esther every Saturday, come here 4:30, practicing the guitar? Are you impressed? But did she come here and say, I am here 4:30. I am the one who actually, every Friday, this Daniel go happy, happy, will send me this new song, and then I got to change the chords. All. She doesn't say anything. What? Or have you seen this woman who 3 o'clock will come with the kids? Her name is Phyllis, and then Ta Wei also had to come. And now I don't know where you put the children. And then she's here praying for the service. Did they have to say anything? Are you impressed with those people who do kids service? Some of them not very attentive. I heard one just now. Actually, I said, you got 5 only. Still need 2 adults. They say, you need. Because one of them, this one, like to run around. So one adult to catch that running around. Then the other 4. Oh, Shireen. Or do we do whatever we do? The theology will work. Because all glory goes to him. Sometimes your presence alone is enough, isn't it? At work, at the cell, visiting an hospital, at the wake. The presence that you have, because the people don't know God yet, right? Your presence is the presence of God. Make sense? The people don't know God, but when you go there, you bring the presence of God. So I always tell people, when you don't go to cell group, you don't come to church, it affects a lot of people, you know. When you don't go to work, it affects people. When you're not around and only Daniel go, the other Daniel go is around, your children miss you? Is our presence there for what is required? Do we make it count? What is it about you as we look at the theology of work? What is it about you when you work as a banker, as a church elder, or whatever we do? What is it about you that encourages people? Are you giving God the mask wherein he's hidden behind the mask? that He can use so that all glory goes back to Him. Do we have a purpose in our lives? Do we find that in Him, the Word of God says, we move and have our being. We be that person that God will use in the marketplace. Let's pray. I invite the musicians to come forward.
You're ready, let's stand up and worship. Our Heavenly Father is in our midst. I just want to encourage all of us to look unto Him, our gentle Abba Father. He's our all in all. He gave His one and only Son to die for us. Son who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Heavenly Father, we are forever grateful. Lord Jesus, we are forever grateful because You chose the cross so that we may have life. Church, I just want to encourage you to, in your own way, give thanks to our Abba Father. Worship Him with this song, "You Are My All in All."
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking You as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'll be a fool. You are my all in all.
From the top again, You're my strength.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. seeking you as a precious jewel. Not to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all in all.
Let's worship him, Jesus, Lamb of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Taking my sin,
my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Indeed, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Many of us, as we come here today, you know very well what communion is all about. Even you look to books of Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 20. And it says here that as Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and saying that this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus basically says that as you take this bread, do this in remembrance of him. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying that this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. As today we come, as we partake of this bread and this wine, remember that you are part of what Christ has in store for all of us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it says that the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not in the participation of blood of Christ? So remember, as we partake of this communion, The word of the Lord says that we participate in Christ. We participate in Christ's glory. We participate in His suffering. We participate in His resurrection. And the bread that we bread is not a participation of the blood of Christ. And by being participation, we are part of what Christ is all about. And like what Daniel said, we become the ambassador of Christ. We represent what Christ is all about. So, brother and sister, today, you are ambassador of Christ. As you take this bread and you drink of this blood, remember that whatever you do, as you go back to the workplace, you are the ambassador of Christ. That every word that you say carry the power, carry the spirit of the word of the Lord. Remember the theology is a work. Regardless of your weakness, regardless of your shortcoming, the Lord has anointed you with great authority and a great power because you participate in Him. As you participate in this communion, the word of the Lord says that I will give you the power and authority. It's as if I given to Moses, that you are as to God to your colleagues. You have become God to your superior. You become a God to your supplier, to your client. And you become a God even to your children because you represent what God is all about. So, brother and sister, as you take this time, reflect upon the word of the Lord. Today, the word of the Lord to you is that you are the ambassador of Christ. And you shall take pride in it. And you shall believe in it. And you shall embrace it as you participate in this Holy Communion. So let's take time and reflect upon the word of the Lord. So those of you are convenient, you can kneel down as we peel away the first emblems. And I say again, say in Luke chapter 22, it says here that as we break it and you give it to them and say, this is my body, as you take the biscuit out, do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake the emblem together. Likewise, for the cup they have eaten and saying that this is a cup that poured out for you, it becomes a new covenant in you. So let's drink this together. Father, we just want to thank you even as we close this session. So once again, we just want the word of the encouragement to all of us is that the word of the Lord is powerful. And remember that you are ambassador of Christ. Apply the theology of works in everywhere we go and people that we interact with. And may the power of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord be with you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Let's continue to worship the Lord. Jesus, Lamb of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Your name.
Your name stands above them all.
Your name.
the highest your name. It's the greatest your name. Stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them. Thank you.
service with a request, an invitation for you. If there's somebody you that says, God, I want to be the ambassador for you in the marketplace. With no one looking around, will you lift your hands before the Lord? This is a precious moment. If there's somebody who says, God, I want to be the ambassador for you in the marketplace. Don't do this only because you think your husband is doing it or you're obliged to. Do it only because you really want to see it come to pass. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, thank you. Now release anointing upon your servant so that, Lord, in the bank, in the army camp, in the childcare center, and where we work, Lord, your dosage of compassion, your anointing of wisdom, your prompting of courage, your utterance of words through your servant will bring healing, balming effect, so that many people will court the favor of your servant, and through them, many people will come to Christ. For that undergrad student, your word will bring healing. For that man in the construction industry, we will begin to build lives. So Father, in that bank where my sister goes out there to cut deals, Lord, your word will cut through hearts of indifference. Father, as we look towards the second half of the year, as you want to do the work of God and just going out there in the Alpha program and telling people about baptism, Lord, do something so that the lives of men will be touched. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, do it right now. Only in the name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you. We release your brother and sister, my brother and sister, into the marketplace, into a marketplace of favors. Use them for glory. Until we meet again next week at the food distribution, Lord, even there, may we be a blessing, true and true. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Next week, please don't come here. A service is not here. We are going to the food distribution and we'll come back here on the 27th of May. See you next week at Block 61, Kallang Bahru. God bless you. See you next week.